Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Hi, this is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Today, I'm doing a solo show, and I wanted to talk to you all about intuition. So many people have asked me about, you know, how does your intuition work? How is it that you can do these things and have information and do readings for people, etc.? And what I really want to share today is to demystify, if I can, what the intuition is all about. Our intuition is an innately a human gift. And because of various things that have influenced our lives, our past experiences, our beliefs that we are told that we are little and we're small, that we are ignorant, that we don't deserve to know things. So many things influence how we think. But I want you to know that your intuition is a part of not your brain, but your mind. And so your mind, in my understanding, and what I have experienced in the past 20-some years of doing intuitive work, and really all my life, is that our intuition is beyond our thinking. It is beyond the very prescribed ways that we have learned things, how we have been taught to by rote, memorize things. And we have been taught in our educational system that we are right or we're wrong, we're graded, so therefore we're seeing ourselves in relation to other people as good or bad, smarter or dumber, whatever it is. So we're constantly in this angst that prevents us from being able to not only receive, but we're always receiving, and help preventing us from interpreting the information we receive. And so what I have discovered through my own experiences, and believe me, I am in no way saying that I am superior in what anyone else, what I'm doing. In fact, I know that I have a lot to learn, but I'm willing to learn. That's what's important. And we have in our education system been so maligned in a punitive way. So I'm going to back up and say, I think that I know that I was being given the opportunity to hone my sensitivities long before I knew what they were. As a child, our mother, I am one of nine kids, number seven of nine originally, I grew up in an area where I was surrounded by nature. I grew up in a home and a family that I was surrounded by love. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't occasional tensions. Of course there is, with siblings and, you know, ranking of who's who and all of that. But our mother was extraordinary in that she taught us that everyone was important, that we all had a voice and we all had talents. And so I was always encouraged to be an observer. And as a little kid, I enjoyed doodling. I enjoyed doodling shapes, and I enjoyed doodling images of art, of images of nature, etc. When my mom saw this, she began to encourage me to draw. So it was never that I did it right or wrong. It was just, here, try this, or here, paint on this, or here, see what happens when you mix these colors. And she would likely never have called herself an artist at all, but she encouraged all of us to, or I can only speak for myself, she encouraged me as her daughter to express myself. So as a result of that, I spent a lot of time observing things. If I were to want to paint a flower, for instance, or representation of a flower, I would have to look at it. I would have to really study it. Did I make it look exactly like the flower? No, because the substance is different. I cannot replicate a flower, but I can replicate my impression of a flower with color and texture and nuances. But also from that, I was given the opportunity, as all artists do, to make interpretations, which means to play with it, to add things maybe that aren't there, to add colors that maybe are not a part of what it is I'm actually looking at, so that I can be creative. So with this, I know that it helped me in my later years to not be as critical of my thinking as I could maybe ordinarily be. So what I have discovered is, in the many people that I've talked to over the years, and most recently because of COVID, we are in this mindset that is limiting us, because our mindset says, let's get back to where we were. We don't want to go back to where we were. Where we were was broken. Where we were was ignoring human suffering. Where we were was saying, this is for me, but not for you. Where we were was saying, follow what I say, but don't question me in regard to religion, in regard to education, in regard to governance. And then we would follow leadership that had no semblance of leading anywhere. So we're in an opportunity right now to begin to actually use our mind. Again, not our brain, but our mind. And so one of the things that I have been consciously discovering and listening to and reading about is others who had great wisdom, studying those that had great wisdom. And one that I will talk about right now in particular is a gentleman who is globally known, whose name is Sadhguru. And as many of you know, I also work with Indigenous elders, and I talk with different individuals who are in different levels of leadership and that are trying to help to make a difference in our world right now as we're trying to, quote unquote, get back to normal. And what we have an opportunity to discover is we have to use our mind. In other words, we have to begin to look at, honestly, the truth of where we have been, that things aren't working, that we are, as a species, we are very sick. We are sick in how we have been willing to destroy our own environment, how we have been willing to anesthetize ourselves with substances in order to pretend that everything is okay. And it isn't. We have been willing and consciously polluting our water, polluting our land, polluting our air, and acting as if there is no consequence to that. And it's interesting to me, because right now we have an opportunity to look at what would life be like if we were born right now, in the mind that you have right now, in the awareness that you have right now. If you were born right now, what challenges are you going to face in the next decades of your life, that knowing that the adults that are in your life now have created this willfully and or with negligence? So when we get out of our mind and when we get out of our current thinking and ways that we try to defend what we have done, instead of saying, you're right, I'm wrong, I have done an error in my thinking, I have followed an error in my thinking, I apologize, and now let's start something new. Let's look at ways of correcting this. Let's look at ways that would be workable for everyone. And then we kind of just take off our shoulders the weight of having to be right. But what we need to consider is how do we move forward with correction and openness and making opportunities available to every human being on this planet. We have so many things that are happening right now that are bringing people to fear. We have fires, we have earthquakes, we have hurricanes, we have drought. We have all of these things that are beyond our capacity in this immediate moment to stop or to negate. However, we do have the choices we make. We do have the choices to say, if you don't have what you need, come and I will give you what you need for now. And I will give you the shelter that you need so that you can build a life for yourself. We have this arrogance of mind. We have this arrogance within our thinking that we think that we own anything. We don't own anything. We cannot take anything with us when we go. When we leave this planet, when we leave this life, we don't even take our breath with us. We certainly don't take our body with us. And we don't take any of the things that we try to accumulate in our lives. But what we do do is leave an impact. We can either leave an impact that is destructive, or we can leave an impact that is opening doors of possibilities for us to begin to explore the vast treasure trove that Mother Earth has for us. There is a lot of work that's being done around the world to begin to listen finally to the prophecies of Indigenous elders, of those wisdom keepers who knew how to be in immediate conversation with the world, with the earth, because they knew and they still know that we are not separate from the earth. So what is important to understand about intuition and beyond the realm of your mind, when I say that, again, I want to qualify that what I mean by beyond the realm of your mind is your current thinking, is how do we begin to appreciate that life is working in our favor and that we are constantly being given information that we need to learn how to interpret. That doesn't mean we will understand everything in its entirety, but we can at least approach things without any anxiety, without any anger, without mistrust, without anything other than genuine curiosity. So listening again to, I'm going to reference again Sadhguru, this gentleman who is from India. Those of you who have not heard of him, most people have. He's brilliant in that he is sharing what many Indigenous elders have known, but have been stopped from speaking about. And thankfully, Sadhguru is working very diligently to help people wake up to their own human potential. Our intuition is a part of our human potential. And our intuition is one of the senses that we have. We are sensory beings. We are beings that receive information both internally and externally to help us to understand where we are in relation to everything. Now, that doesn't mean that we have a deep understanding of who we are in relation to everything, but for momentarily, we can be in appreciation of the information coming to us. So one of the simplest ways to begin to open your intuition or to be aware of the significance of your intuition is to simply sit. Sit quietly with your back straight, not rigid, but erect, and begin to pay attention to what you feel. Close your eyes. And at first, your mind will chatter. Again, the mind that I'm speaking of in this reference is your thoughts. Your thoughts will chatter. Your thoughts will say, what are you doing this for? You're wasting time. You have this to do. You have this to do. You have this to do. And then, and then your mind will say, or your thoughts will say, gee, I don't feel comfortable right now. Or gee, I'm hungry. Or gee, I have to go to the bathroom. Or, you know, gee, I got to make a phone call. Or all of these things that we think are of importance to us. And then over time, the more you sit and you're quiet, you begin to give yourself the opportunity and permission to begin to notice what is around you, the sounds around you, even the sound of the quiet around you, what it feels like to be in your body, to have appreciation for your body. As you're sitting having a glass of water, you drink that water and you think, what is this substance? What is it doing for me? Yes, it quenches my thirst, but what is it? So we're in a time right now when we are being given the opportunity to move in a very different direction, to move in collaborative union with one another and with the world. We have been entrained to believe, because of our perceived ethnicity, by our perceived denomination, our religion, our gender, our age, our skin tone, that we have a presumption of something that is so skewed that we don't realize how it drives our thinking in often very destructive ways. If we learn how to recognize that we are powerful beings, that for millennium, many, many millions of years, human beings have been able to interact in the world, in exploring the world and discovering the world. And discovering does not mean owning. Discovering means being in a position of awe, of watching what already is in existence. And from that, all sciences have been born. So we have an arrogance of mind, an arrogance in our thinking that we have knowledge that equals wisdom. We do not. We have information that we perceive as knowledge. Information can be right or wrong. Information is just what is coming into us. Knowledge is a volume of a book. But wisdom is what do you do with it? You can have the understanding of, in the English language, the alphabet. But if you don't know how to put things together, A, B, C, D, E means nothing. But you put C, A, T, H, O, U, S, E, G, I, R, L together, it means something. So we have to get back to the building blocks of our language, the building blocks of information that can become knowledge and then ultimately can become wisdom. We need wisdom. And wisdom is not damaging. Wisdom brings equality to our world. Wisdom looks at things with honesty and makes a clear decision and about whether something is working or not. If it is true that what many people are speaking about is we have not only this pandemic of the coronavirus, but we are also having a pandemic of mental illness. We are having a pandemic of suicide. Is because we don't recognize we actually have a mind. We have the opportunity to make change. But so many people in their thought processes only let the wheel of what they have been taught and what they have been told about themselves run endlessly in their mind, run endlessly in their thinking. And as a result of that, they believe what they have been told is true. And they see no way out. This is a great human tragedy because we have not in our schools been taught how to think. We have not in our schools taught how to be imaginative. We have not been encouraged to daydream. To daydream means to reach out beyond your thinking to the mind that is in existence, that helps us to bring formulations, that helps us to bring information into a workable way. If we look at the natural world, we see that there is rhythm. There is something that you can count on if all of the pieces are there that are required. As I look out the window, the trees outside here have been coming to life every spring. Actually, they're still alive. But to us humans, they look like life is birthing. And they have been here as the spring and the weather changes and the water is running more easily. And the water can move up into the veins of the trees, into the very branches and buds. The nutrients that are necessary that are coming from the earth will allow the buds of the trees to begin to form. And eventually, as the weather changes, it will bring leaves, and it will bring beauty, and it will bring shade, and it will bring, eventually as the weather changes and the water recedes back into the earth, it's not gone. It just knows when it's time to go back into the earth, because otherwise, if all of the tree was filled with water, it would crack as it froze. It would die. There's a wisdom that we look at, but we don't see. And every year, the tree knows exactly what to do when everything that is needed is present. If we bring that analogy to our own lives, if we give life what is necessary for it to blossom, what is necessary for it to be contributory to the remainder of everything else that is around it, there is never a tree that says to a bird, "You are not allowed on my branches." And because all birds are allowed on the branches that come here, they share their song. They share their song. They birth their babies. They build their nests. They offer life. And it is all around us, and we fail to see it. It's time that we look with new eyes to step beyond our thinking so that we can use our minds in much more benevolent ways. We have all been wrong. We have all, at one time or another, been prejudiced. We have all beaten ourselves up. We have all been angry. And it is all of these missteps have kept us in the same mindset that we are currently in. And this coronavirus, the word corona means crown, is giving us this opportunity to open our crown chakra, to allow the energy of a real mind, the mind of creation, that grows and bursts and creates with abandon. And we need to open that. We need to open the centers of our bodies. We need to open ourselves so that we can learn to be participants in this very short journey that we're on called life. And When I think about my children and my grandchildren, my friends and their children and their grandchildren, I want to help to participate in undoing the damage that we have done. Not by pointing fingers about what did you do or what did you not do, but let's say, look at what has happened and let's change it. Let's do something workable. So I hope that as our voices can move around the planet, we can learn that we have innate wisdom within us when we step out of our mind and into the mind of creation, of which we are a part. It is us. We are it. We are the ones given the opportunity in life to make a difference on this planet. All other species are here, and they offer beauty, and they offer opportunities to witness collaboration, to witness workability. We must learn to see it. We must learn to embrace it. We must be willing to look at what is not working and say so, honestly. It doesn't mean we need to berate anyone. We just need to say, this doesn't work. What can we do now? What will I do now? As we have gone through this time when we are with ourselves, we are beginning to know ourselves, to know the challenges that we have created, to know the challenges that have been created before we came, and to see what kind of challenges that we want to let go down the river so that we can stand in the stream of new opportunities. Thank you for this opportunity today to speak with you. My name is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Go out and step out of your mind and learn how to use your mind. Thanks so much.